the Lord shows up and his men start worshiping and giving him praise. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be his name. And, you know, that's the kind of God we have. And he knows how needy his men are. That would be me and you. Besides me and you, men aren't needy. But because of me and you, men are very needy. We need a lot of help. And Joseph said a while ago, we're going to gather together to pray. Our group will be meeting at 5:30 up at Concordia College, up on top of the hill up here, overseas half of Orange County. And we'll be praying for the country and for the county and for the whole thing. We're going to break it down and just pray and worship. And I think that's the only thing that's got any chance of holding this nation together a little longer. I mean, there's no other answer. There's no other thing that's going to keep this nation together or keep Sam together right now. I mean, that's what's going to keep Sam. And it's not so much Sam's faith, but God will honor our faith and our prayers that we're praying for Sam. And so God will honor. And I shared with you before that in reading some of Susan's prayer journals, I realized that she prayed like crazy, especially for me and the family. But she had lists every day who she was praying for. And then I had a quote in my prayer calendar, and I shared this with you, I think, last week or so, that our prayers are deathless. The heart that beat that prayed them may not be still beating, and the lips may not still be speaking, but the prayers are still alive, and they're floating up as incense in the nostrils of God. Isn't that a great promise? Isn't that a great thing to understand and to know? That your prayers live after you. So don't think that once a person has died that their prayers have died. Their prayers are still alive and powerful. So whatever Susan prayed for me, and as she prayed for me, and I run across things all the time where she's written something about me or praying for me. I was going to speak somewhere. I was going to do this. And she's just holding me up and praying and lifting me up. Well, she still is. Even this morning, she used to walk me to the garage door and say, go give them heaven. And she still is. You know, and we talked last week about there's only two places in the New Testament where God used where God had Paul use the term man of God. And every time it was used 70 times in the Old Testament, and every time it was used, it was a title of honor. It was a title that meant that this person speaks for God. This person is a messenger from God. Now, in Matthew 28, he says, you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything I taught you. Pass it along. You know, whatever I built in you, I didn't give it for you. I gave it to you. You could have given it away. And lo, I'm with you always. I'm going to help you do this. You don't have to go out there. I'm not sending you out there alone. Survivors don't make good men. I'll be right there with you, filling you, giving you my Holy Spirit, filling you with my word. You'll be my messenger. I'll give you strength and wisdom. And when you stand before kings and magistrates, I'll give you the words to say. Do not fear, for you'll have the words you need to have. To say in that moment to those people, I will be with you. So God has not only commissioned us, but he's given us everything we need to get the job done. It's like I've told you many times, Coach Nix, my college baseball coach, called us together my sophomore year. I hadn't played in my first college game yet. And he put us on our knee back by the backstop behind home plate. And he looked around like I'm looking at you, and he says, we have everything we need right here to win this conference championship. And we believed him. We didn't win it that year, but we won it my senior year. We were in the conference playoffs with Mississippi State. But 2 years later, we won the Southeastern Conference. But we had a coach that said, we got everything right here. You have everything you need. If I was your coach, and I think I am, this is a locker room every Friday morning. At least that's where I'm most comfortable. And so we come in here to get the vision. We come in here to be empowered just like you were in this worship. You're not going to be the same guy walking out of here you were in because of just the worship that you just enjoyed. And I hope you were able to enter into that this morning. But the fellowship, the worship, the teaching, it all goes together because we need help. We need to be reminded. We need strength. You know what we need is what the way Paul put it when he was writing to his protege Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. He said, all scripture is in... Now, he had just got through saying, Timothy, you were raised by your grandmother in the Word of God. And all scripture, it's profitable. Scripture is. It's profitable for training, teaching, reproof, and instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be adequate and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So what God do? He says, look, I'm giving you the Word of God. Now, there's things you're going to need to do in this life, and those things that you need to do is you need to be reproved, and you need to reprove others. You need to be trained. You need to be instructed in righteousness. And so to do that, in you God's Word, so you'll know what rebuking is. And, you know, who do you rebuke? People that are violating God's Word and going against God's Word or putting up a standard against God's Word. So there's a time to do that. And he says, and I'll give you the wisdom to know when to speak and when not to speak. I'll give you the wisdom to know, is this a training situation and is this a reproving situation? And I'll lead you and guide you in all of that. I'll give you everything you need when you need it. So don't be telling me, well, I'm not gifted, I won't do that. I'll give you the gifts you need when you need it. I'm no speaker. Get up and just open your mouth. I'll do the speaking. I'm glad you can't speak. That way you let me do it. All guys that got this gift of speaking, they don't let him speak. And so God has given us that because we need a lot of help. And he's given us all the help we need. You know, 5 years ago, my good friend Phil Van Horn, standing back there, Phil came to me, and as many guys had come to me before and said, you know, all this stuff you're teaching and all that, and I'd been doing that for 20 years at the time. You know, we need a book. We need something where all that stuff is put in that book so that, you know, I don't remember all the stuff you said, but if you give me something to jumpstart me, I can remember some of those. Remember a lot of illustrations, a lot of the funny, stupid stuff you did. You've shared with us and things that have happened to you. And I've heard most of them 10 or 12 times if you've been coming 10 or 12 times. So you need to put it into a book. And so Phil came to me and he was the next guy to say that, but he said something the other guys hadn't said. He said, you need to put it into a book and I want to help you do that. Now, Phil has a background. Here's his resume from the book. Phil Van Horn is a baseball and entertainment agent. So he's a baseball agent right now. It's what he's done. And he's been an entertainment agent in Hollywood in his background. He's based in Pasadena, California, and leads the Influencers Men's Ministry in La Crescenta, which is right there. He's been doing that for about 5 years. He's an Emmy Award-winning journalist and a former college baseball coach. Hallelujah. He's in with me. Phil met his wife, Leisha, while he was working for CNN. And then he was a guy out there in the field for ESPN for a number of years. So he comes eminently qualified. And I didn't even know all that when I said, okay, you know, writing a book's one thing. If I got a guy to help me write a book, you know, it's a team effort always. And you hear me say that all the time. I like teams. And God likes teams. God says, look, some of you guys have the gift of helps. Some of you guys have the gift of teaching. Some of you guys have the gift of leadership. Some of you guys have the gift of compassion and mercy. And so he goes down the list of all the gifts that he spreads out among the body of Christ. And we all need each other. Is no gift more important than another gift. We can make them more important, but they're not. It takes a whole... You think this thing right here this morning happened because I showed up? No, it happened because all those guys up there in the booth are making it happen. All the guys that set up all this equipment up here make it happen. And turn on my mic so it works, to make it happen. Set up these chairs. It's a team effort. And everybody who does that is important, and certainly important to the Lord. So Phil and I started this, and at this point, I want to say a few words about Mike Yorkey, too, and then I'm bringing you guys start heading in this direction. Mike Yorkey provided valuable assistance with a book, and there's a book back there. It's got mine and Phil's name on it, and Mike's in there, too, because it was a team effort. Mike Yorkey provided valuable assistance with this book. He's the author and co-author of more than 100 books with more than 2 million copies in print. His projects include, let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of a book called Every Man's Battle? Anybody got that book? Well, Mike basically wrote that book. He helped Steve Arterborn and Fred Stoker write that book. Mike lives in Encinitas. And God brought an unlikely team, an Auburn guy, an ESPN guy, and a guy in a what? Oregon Duck. All right. See, let me think. I think Auburn beat Oregon in 2010 for the national championship. But we won't talk about that today. So we're going to interview each other up here a little bit. Because these things don't just happen. As I said, you guys come on up here just a second. Phil, you know, 5 years ago you came to me and you said, let's do this, and you said you would help, and so we started. So what I did is I gave Phil some content. I gave him a lot of stuff that I had done, a lot of messages, a lot of articles I'd written, a lot of this, that, and the other. And Phil took one of the things. You remember the average guy in the average church, and there's 5 pages, and I'd go through that with you? Well, he took that and he turned it into 13 chapters in a book. But Phil, you know, it hadn't been an easy road the last 5 years. We've had a few interruptions. You want to share a little bit about that with us?
Well, I'd rather that not have happened. Well, fellas, 5 years along the way, you know what Pete and Susan have been through. In fact, I believe it was, I'd say, 3 years into the book where Pete said he was done. He didn't want it done. In fact, I brought one up here, and there we are, Mike, good. So this is the book, Cracking the Man Code. And we were a good 3 years into it, and he just said he quit. I couldn't blame him either. Susan had defeated breast cancer once, and she was going for round 2. And hold this, partner. And he was done. And he said, I don't care if it's ever made. He said, you're off the hook. Any dollar, any minute that we've both invested or anybody else that's supported has invested, so you don't have to worry about it. I got you covered. I'm done with it, and you don't have to do a thing. That's where we stood about a year and a half to 2 years ago. That was even before we knew about the most serious round of cancer with Susan. Our wives are good friends. They had talked extensively about that. And at that point, Pete was done. He was exhausted. He is most comfortable here with you guys. And he had a battle to fight. He had a wife he needed to embrace. As equal as his purpose was to stand by Susan and just be the best husband he could and be the best shepherd he could to you guys and the guys up in Fullerton, I knew that I had a purpose at that point. And for no reason other than we just had to do it. Spirit of God. We just had to do it. And so, Pete and I teamed up on it, and the book we had was a fairly amateurish ministry tool. Until Mike Yorkey got involved. And it was always my heart, and Mike and I have collaborated now on about 5 or 6 books, and he's the pro, he's the brains. In fact, the book that we have back there that Pete has shown you is about 50% Pete. And some of you are going to read that, and you're going to say, I've got this, I've read this before. But you know, that's not the spirit of this group. There's something that happens very special here. You guys are like the cradle of the influencers. The fact that I'm up here now, that there's a group in La Crescenta, happened after I came to first Fullerton and then here. and got inspired. And I'd always hoped that Mike would get involved because I knew he'd make it something beyond Pete's ministry, my contribution as a media veteran, and that it would become something more than that. And I believe truly that it has, initiated by Pete in the ministry, that in fact I got involved because so many of you guys said, Phil, he should have a book. And it's not my hand on it, but I'm very grateful that the Lord led us to Mike Yorkie and his hand is on it. And I think what you'll find with the book is that it's more than what happens here on Friday mornings. There'll be some familiar territory there, but I think it'll surprise you. I think it'll be a tool that you guys can take to a guy who's near you. Maybe a son or a son-in-law who you've tried to get to these meetings before. They won't come. You've told them about it. Hasn't meant anything to them. Or maybe it's a brother or a brother-in-law or a father or a father-in-law. We'll talk a little bit more in a minute about how to make that happen, because the Lord has given us a tool.
Well, he has. You know, I did come to you and I just said, look, I'm done here. And I said, if you want to keep doing something, that's fine. I didn't think he would, tell you the truth. But you were going through your own challenges at the time. I mean, some real challenges. I mean, I was going through a challenge, but so were you. And it was some spiritual warfare going on. It's the kind of thing where you'd think, I'm not sure the Lord wants, I mean, I know the Lord wants this book, but I'm not sure the devil wants this book out there or any other book that's going to honor Jesus Christ and help men. Men need a lot of help. Can I get an amen from the congregation? Good. If you didn't say amen, we need counseling right over here in the corner afterwards. But do you want to share anything about that, what the Lord has done in you and with you through this whole thing? Because it's been tough.
Truth is, I really don't want to talk about it, but I will. And
don't waste your suffering.
Amen. But as the Lord stands in heaven right now, I guess I should. This is the time, huh? And anyone that's watching on the internet, I'm going to apologize in advance. It's not a very happy story. We lost it all, right? We lost it all. The house, the job, the new company, twice. You name it, if we had it, we lost it. That's the best way of saying it. Satan made it really clear right away he wanted nothing to do with his book, and he was going to throw everything at Pete and I that he possibly could. And he did. Hasn't stopped. You said 5 years. It's been longer than that, really. It's easily 7 to 8 years. Health challenge, financial, legal, career.
Family.
You name it. We've lost it all. Not proud of that. Not a happy story. But in the middle of that, I knew we had to do the book. Because it's not about me. It's not about us. You guys know that. You've been here when you were hurting. Amen?
Amen.
And you were losing. You knew there was a God. He's good. Even when life's not very good that day or that week or that month, that year, amen, and hell breaks out, and we learn that we have no control over this thing. Amen?
Amen.
I had no control.
Well, we know who does. We just sang a song. It's been our anthem, really. When I was singing, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord, and looking at the words of that song, He gives and takes away. He gives and takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Guys, that's what we're aimed at. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get ourselves and our lives into a place where whatever He puts in or whatever He takes out, blessed be His name.
Amen.
You know, I'm not just going to bless His name when He, what we call blessings and we call friends, Because God has taught me a new definition for friends, right? All my maladies, all my physical stuff, he says, they're my friends. Because the definition of a friend with God is anybody that points you to Jesus Christ. That's the reason my life mission statement is, if I know a guy for 5 minutes or hours or weeks or months or years, I want him to love Jesus more because we were friends. And so if that's your goal, then you have many opportunities in a suffering world to do that. And so this book was forged through a lot of suffering and a lot of just hanging in there. Because I did, and it wasn't on my part. It was on Phil's part of just hanging in there. And they're still going through it today in many different ways. But then Phil goes, and Phil had a background with Mike Yorkey. And Mike is at a place in his career where he can pick and choose what he wants to, what books he wants to help. Because now people are seeking him out. And I'd heard of Mike before, probably saw his name on the front of some book covers or something, but certainly we'd never met. And I didn't even know Phil was a friend of his and had worked with him before. But it was a missing piece of the puzzle on the team that's the reason we have that this morning. If it had just been me and Phil, we'd be looking at a manuscript right now wondering how could we dust it off another time or two. So God gave us Mike Yorkey. And Mike, as I said, you had the opportunity now to kind of, you can look at something and tell this is going to be a book with some lasting power or not. And the fact that you even got involved with this thing was kind of amazing to me. Will you want to tell us a little about why you did that?
Well, sure. It was a diamond in the rough when I got it. I'm a little bit like a guy that, redoes cars, you know, you bring it in the shop. And, you know, I saw a great potential in it, but, you know, kind of needed a new chassis. there were a few dents. But I saw the bones, you know.
I went to Auburn.
Right. And so I started working on it, and I saw parts here and parts here, and all of a sudden all the parts are all over the floor type of thing. And I can't remember if we had you write the foreword before or that was part of what you originally gave me, where you talked about how once you started this book, bad things happened. And I said, whoa, that's kind of interesting.
And you still took it on.
I still took it on because I saw great teaching. I saw fantastic teaching, and it really resonated with me because I have done men's ministry type books. I did a book called Daddy's Home back in the early 90s at the start of the kind of the Promise Keepers movement. It kind of hit it at the right time. And I thought it was a great message that men out there needed to hear, that you can't be average and casual. And that's what a lot of guys are. So I thought you really had your thumb on how guys act and how guys are. I saw that. And so, we went back and forth. You guys were great to work with, especially Phil, because...
Because Phil actually worked with you.
You're right.
I just watched it happen.
But, I mean, I wouldn't say I took real liberties, but I saw things in the notes that you sent me on chapter 13. No, that really belongs in 6. And I really kind of reshuffled the deck. And Phil said, go for it. So the other thing that I wanted to do is make sure that the book was guy-friendly. Meaning not a lot of words on the page.
Big spaces.
A lot of bold-faced type. A lot of pop-outs, sidebars. You know, books for guys with short attention spans. And so I think I worked with a designer on that. And I think it came off real well, so why don't we leave it at that?
Yeah. Well, I think looking back, I think we would honestly say that this was a labor of love, not because we needed to do it, but because God said it needs to be done. And if there hadn't been God involved in this thing with all that's gone on and all that we've been through and all that has happened, we wouldn't have a book right now. Now, the verse I shared with you a few minutes ago, where Paul looked at Timothy and he says, you know what, Timothy, the scripture is powerful. And I've called you to serve me in the church. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a tool. And that tool is going to help you reprove and instruct and train, and in our case, guys. Now, you know about men's ministry a little bit, and I want to talk about that just a little bit this morning. You know, you've been leading a group up there for about 8 years in La Crescenta, and you've been involved, Mike, in writing books about men. You know, I think today, if anybody was ever, there ought to be books flooding the market with messages to men that encourage men, inspire men, lift men up, that help men fight through the onslaught that we're going through. And I read you a little essay on that last week, to demean and degrade and denigrate men today. And it's been going on since the Garden of Eden, what was that guy in the Garden of Eden, Adam? There was an older couple, and two couples, and they were having dinner at one of them's house one night, and so the gals had gotten up to go to the kitchen and take the dishes and get the dessert ready, and the two guys were sitting there at the table together, and so one of them said, "Man, we saw this movie the other night. You got to see this movie. It's really great." And he goes, "Well, what's the name of it?" And he went, "What is that flower that, you know, it's red and it has thorns and stuff?" And he goes, "Rose." "Yeah, that's it. Hey, Rose." that give me some grace, okay? There are times Bill Cobble says to me all the time, "Hey, Rose." You know, there's never been a time when ministering to men was more needed, and there's never been a time when it's been more rare in churches. And I hate to say that, and it's not to criticize churches. It's just to say there's a spiritual battle going on that doesn't want you ministered to. It doesn't want you encouraged. It doesn't want you to help you understand what a man of God is and how desperately you are needed right now to stand in the face of danger and bear up under suffering and sacrifice for the good of others right now. This country needs you. If you want to pray for anything for this country, pray for men to rise up in this country. And I've told you before, what Promise Keepers did is it awoke a sleeping giant. It awoke guys like us. It just showed how hungry we are, how much we want to band together. But it got put back to sleep again. And so let's pray for an awakening with men. And maybe it could start here. That book back there, I'm convinced, as I have looked at it up close and from afar to get the 10,000 foot view of the thing, is a tool. It's what it is. It's a tool to train and instruct men in righteousness, to help men understand. And this whole thing about cracking the man code, we talk about that. The old man code, the new man code, making the transition from being in the old life, and now you've put on the new life, and if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Working out that salvation with fear and trembling, understanding what it means to be a man of God. And I was out at a golf course. I forget what I was doing out there. Rose. And the cart boy, after we'd done the round and they're cleaning your clubs off and everything, and he heard me and my partner, Francis. Where is Francis? Over here. So there he is. Francis, don't tell him what I shot, Francis. But Francis and I had just finished the round, and we're talking, and the guy just spoke up and he says, "You guys know about Jesus?" And I guess he had heard us talking about Jesus or something about church or something. And so we had a great conversation with Andrew. And Andrew, by the time we got through talking with him, I said, Andrew, I believe you're a man of God. And he just looked at me. And so I took my wristband off and I put it on him, and he levitated right off the ground. He couldn't believe it. He said, man, God sent you guys. He knew what I needed today. There's guys like Andrew everywhere out there, just pointing any direction. There's guys just like Andrew. And I told him what a man of God was. I told him what the three questions was. And he says, please come back. I said, is it going to be free? Southern Baptist kicking in. They're everywhere, guys. So what you see standing in front of you today is a team. And every guy on the team had a contribution. But without any of us, without my content and his putting it all together and him making it look, putting a new chassis on it and getting the dents out and moving things around in there, there's a book back there. If it could be helpful to you and you think it could be helpful to you, then get that book and use it as a tool. At the end of every chapter, there are questions. So if you wanted to use it as a, with guys, one of my former students who's now 60 years old, I still call them kids, back in Birmingham I was with, looked at it and he says, man, he says, I've been looking for something to use with our small group. I think this is it. And so it could be used like that. There's just... and as you read through, if you've been coming a little while, there's a lot of familiar territory in there for you and a lot of new stuff that's in there as well. So I want to thank these two guys for all that they've done and to make this thing happen. And did you have anything else you want to say?
We'll make it really quick, guys. So the book is on Amazon, and it's $15 for a book. But what we want to do with Father's Day coming up is $15 plus five. For $20, you get two, and any multiple of that. And we want you to leave here today with one that you'll read and one that you'll take and give to the son, son-in-law, brother, brother-in-law, father, father-in-law, or... You forgot to ask me the most exciting part about this. The first person that bought that book is one of my cousins, woman, believer, who bought it for her brother, one of my cousins, never would have thought to call and say, you should read the book. Team up with the women in your life. The first person to step up financially and do that, wonderful husband, wonderful son, wonderful father-in-law. And I said to her, tell me about your dad. She said, where do I write the check? He's a mess. Talk to the women in your life. Who are the men they want to touch that cannot be touched any other way? And get their heart. That's why we're here today, guys. And I'm going to finish this, Pete, with one thing. Guys, I'm going to finish this with a very serious note, then I'll hand it over to him. We'll pray, close up in prayer. He talked about what we went through. I'm going to say that this book was built on pain. My wife and in the book we say that we had, 40 people die in 3 years. It's much more than that. It's about 50, 55 family members and a half dozen, seven suicides, cleaned up after suicide. Two of my nephews, including just recently, heroin overdose. One suicide survivor that we helped to get back in the game of life. Enough was enough. I'm grateful that we have this book out of all of that. And I'd never volunteer to have 55 friends die in a 3-year period. It got to be enough, guys. Enough. Enough. But this book has a chance to touch men, and that's why Satan sent all of the crud that he sent at Pete and at our families. So bless you guys. Thanks for our time together. You want to pray us out?
No, I want Bill Cobble to come up here. Bill, come up here. Bill and I have been in this thing. Bill knows every word of the book, and he hadn't read it yet. Because he knows me and us so well. And he's invested so much of his life into this ministry and into you guys' lives. Bill, I thought you'd be the perfect guy to pray a little dedication over this book.
Oh, thank you.
Can we have the guys stand?
Yeah, guys, let's stand. What a privilege. What a privilege we have. We're not here by mistake. We're not here as a result of ooze coming out of an ocean. We're here because the Lord Jesus Christ created us. He created us for now. This book has been written out of much suffering, much joy, and much love from God. And so, Father, we lift this book up to you only as your instrument to be put in the hands of men that love you, that want to give it to men that need to love you. So we ask you, dear Father, and all of our men to say, amen. We dedicate this book. Amen. Amen. And all God's men said,
amen.
Amen. Give them heaven, guys.